What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Catfish on Ice, a jam-packed and drama-filled episode that we have in store for you, I might add. And this is your host, Chad Minton, with Rich Howe, my esteemed co-host. How did the week of opening free agency treat you, Rich? First of all, how did it go for you, Rich?
It was good. Not much news for us, Predators-wise, but lots of movement elsewhere, that's for sure, man. That's all. I mean, you're going to have a program to track who your favorite players are, because they might not be on your team anymore. So it's crazy.
That's true.
Crazy. Yeah. So many.
NHL
so
much is a, the NHL season, offseason as a whole, has been so insane to follow. Like, you almost got to have a second job to follow all this. Because most of us have normal jobs where we don't get to follow hockey like we wish we did, wish we could. But yes, this NHL offseason has been crazy, but like Rich just said, the Predators have been a little bit more cautious about it. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but guess what? We are episode 60 of Catfish on Ice, which is pretty awesome. I can tell you right now. Well, go ahead, Rich, real quick.
I was just going to say, we don't have a Predators player.
We don't. We could probably go back in the archives and find one.
There aren't any. I just checked.
Really? None. Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that. So Rich is sharing some wisdom with us. But I will say, if you would ask me back in December when we launched this podcast, if we would make it to 60 episodes, and I'm kind of a betting man, I will tell you I am. I bet. I would have taken the under on 60. Does that make me a bad person, Rich?
I don't think so. I mean,
it makes me humble. It makes me humble at least.
Yeah, you don't ever want to say, oh, this is going to blow up.
No, but we're at 60 episodes and we're happy. And for everyone who listens to our podcast, we greatly appreciate you. I can't say that enough. And we're a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. They have so many great podcasts. You also have the basketball network. They have a basketball part of their network as well. So go check out the Hockey Podcast Network, which is what we are so lucky to be a part of, because you will not be disappointed if you're a hockey fan. Let me tell you that right now. But again, this is Chad Minton with Rich Howe. Colin Blue, and our co-host, is out again tonight. He will be back soon. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He made a move. Yep. He's had a lot of stuff. He moved to Atlanta from Cincinnati. He's got a new job. He's doing great things. He will be back with us in the future. I promise you that. But right now, he is dealing with some stuff, but he will be back with us on the podcast very soon.
Absolutely.
I promise you that. We are presented by DraftKings. And before we get into what we're getting into tonight for episode 60, let me tell you about DraftKings. DraftKings is my favorite sportsbook app. It's Rich's favorite sportsbook app. And it's one of America's favorite sportsbook app. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Speaking of America, we've got the Olympics going on still right now. The Tokyo Olympics, I've been all in. I've been getting in on it.
So
the more the Olympics carry on, I can't get enough of it.
Yep.
And it's going to be a part of our quick hitter segment tonight, which we're about to get into. But the Olympics. And DraftKings has a great deal for you right now. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN, and you can turn $1, a $1 bet, that's all you got to do,
$1
into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free site credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or if you're in Indiana, please call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And also, again, America, these are pre-events here. So if there's an event coming up on the Tokyo Olympics coming up tomorrow, the next day, we still have a few days left in the Olympics. Go get the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use our promo code THPN, and you can easily win $100 in free credits and have some fun on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So,
yes,
I am back from vacation.
Yep.
And it feels good to be back. Of course, we are also writers for Predlines.com. And Rich held down the fort for me. He did awesome covering free agency. So go to Predlines.com and check out our free agency content as well. Rich, how was your week, man? How was your week? I know you weren't on the beach like I was. I'm sorry for that. But how was the week, man?
It was good. Not too bad. Just work and did some weekend stuff. But, you know, I'm more interested. I want to hear how your time and I know you like the beach and you had to go to Tampa
Bay. I went into enemy territory here, people.
No.
I'm wearing the Preds gear tonight, right? I'm rocking it. I'm wearing my Pecorino jersey. I still can't accept that he's gone, but he's in our hearts forever, right? But yeah, I went down to Tampa Bay. I'm thinking about moving down there, actually. More or less St. Petersburg. So if you've ever been to that part of Florida, you've got Tampa Bay, which is a peninsula, or St. Petersburg is a peninsula that branches off of Florida. And Tampa Bay is the mainland, and you've got a big bay, which is Tampa Bay. And St. Petersburg, all I've heard about is it is an oasis. It's a beautiful community. Everyone is so nice and chill and relaxed. That's all I hear. I've got some friends who are from there, who live there now, and they're like, and I've been thinking about relocating from Nashville for a while now. And so I'm like, I got to get down there. And this was like a year delayed due to COVID.
Right.
And so I wanted to do this last year in 2020. But I got down there finally. Went down there with my good buddy Clayton, who is also a Dallas Stars fan, who has been on the podcast before. And we went down there. And I got to tell you, everything people have told me positive about that area, they were spot on. The people were so nice. The weather was hot. The sun is shining bright, but it's a heat you can deal with because you're on the beach. You're smelling the ocean water. Everyone is really relaxed and stress free. And I ran into some Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
I bet.
And Rich, guess what, Rich? I'm about to blow your mind a little bit. Maybe you'll soften your stance.
Maybe
on your dislike for the Lightning, but most of the fans were not that cocky. They were very proud of their team. And they have every right to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they also brought up, every time I said, oh, well, I'm a Preds fan, they were like, oh, that's cool.
I think
that kind of means we're not a threat anymore. So they really don't take us seriously. But either way, they were not overly confident about it. They're definitely happy because they also got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who also won a Super Bowl. So they're kind of used to winning down there. They got the Tampa Bay Rays, who are like went to the World Series and lost, and they're first place now. So they're kind of used to winning down there. But I had a great time. It was my first time seeing the ocean in 6 years, which. I can promise you I'm not going to go another 6 years before that happens, but it was really nice. The people down in Tampa and St. Petersburg were very hospitable and nice, so I had a great time, but I'm happy to be back on Catfish and Ice with my buddy Rich, and we have a lot of Predators content to cover over this past week between episodes 59 and 60, and so let's get into it. Let's let you know right now what we are getting into tonight. Our opening face-off is going to be covering free agency up until this point right now. We realize that more moves can happen, but the big parts of free agency have happened. So now we have to reflect on what the Preds have done so far. And so we're going to review that. That's going to be our opening face-off, our main topic of episode 60. We have a lot to get into there.
There is a lot.
We're also, though, going to get into this UC Soros arbitration. And Adam Vinion of The Athletic, which if you're a Predators fan and you're not following Adam Vinion, then where the hell have you been? So go follow him. But he broke it first. Basically, UC Soros, who is a restricted free agent, has filed for arbitration. And this happens when both sides cannot agree on a contract, and you basically take it to a hearing to come up with a contract. And you're basically kicking the can down the road. Absolutely. And it's a bad look. It's really bad. Yep. But we're going to get into it more. We're going to cover that. And then we always end our episodes with quick hitters. And so we have some quick hitters to get into. We're going to talk about the Olympics. We're going to talk about the Central Division. We're going to reshape it because we're back to the old school Central Division.
Thank goodness.
And so I don't know if thank goodness is the right thing, dude.
I don't know. I got tired of seeing the same teams last year. It was too much.
That's true. That's true. I am happy about an 82-game schedule.
Mix it up a little bit. So,
but the Central Division is murderer's row, if you ask me. And so we're gonna reshape it. We're gonna talk about it, and then so that's what we got in store for you in the quick hitters. But let's go ahead and get going with our opening face off of episode 60 of Catfish and Ice, and that is what have the Preds done in free agency so far? And right now, we're gonna go through it, and everything we talk about in free agency is gonna be courtesy of Puckpedia. We use Puckpedia. The guy who runs Puckpedia has been on our show before. And so we use Puckpedia. You got Cat Friendly out there as well. Mm-hmm. But all of our numbers we're using tonight are from Puckpedia. And so let's go ahead and start first off with the biggest signing that we feel like the Preds have made free agency-wise this offseason. And if you're going to ask me, it's definitely going to be Mikael Granlund.
Yes, absolutely.
Because – that threw everyone for a whirlwind. I'm going to ask you, Rich, because you probably can give me a better opinion on this than me. I was on vacation at the time, so I was way behind the times when I really caught up to what was going on. But apparently, as the day was rolling on, Granlund was as good as gone. Like they said, talks had broken down. He's not coming back. Even Adam Vinion came out and said he's not coming back. Yep. And out of nowhere, last second, you get a 4-year deal, $20 million. Rich, what did you see out of it that day?
So, yeah, that day was crazy because, like you said, Adam Vinion put a tweet out saying Granlund's gone. That was like at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock. Yeah. The free agency period opened at 12, and I think it was around 1 o'clock he put out another tweet, Granlund's been signed. 4 years, $20 million. So it was like, remember last year he kind of held out and then, but free agency rolled on a little bit longer and then they eventually signed him. Well, this was a matter of hours and they just.
It was deja vu. It was some deja vu.
Absolutely deja vu.
But a little bit more drama, but even more drama.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was like, you know, within a matter of hours, he's gone. No, he's not. He's here. So.
And it makes you wonder though. And here's where I'm at with it. It makes you wonder. What does the market think of Granlund right now? Because we're talking about two off seasons in a row where we had a good feeling that Granlund was going to be gone from the Preds.
Year, yeah. And this year too, yeah.
And both times he's come back. And so it gives me some pause a little bit about what are other teams seeing in their scouting departments or front offices, whatever you want to call it. What are they seeing? Where they're not like running to the countertop to shop for Granlund, and he keeps ending up back with the Preds for two straight off seasons. That has me a little bit weird about it.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because I can see why last year that he didn't get picked up. He didn't have a great year. He picked it up at the end of the season, but nobody really on the team had that great of a year 2 years ago. So. I wasn't expecting him to be anybody would want him and it was good to see him get back with Nashville. But then this season he really elevated his game and he was probably one of the more consistent players on the team. And I think it's a good thing that they did get him back. You know, they lost so many other veterans and you know, Granlund knows the system and I think he's gonna hopefully have a really good season next year.
I'm right there with you, Rich. He was outside of maybe Philip Forsberg, maybe you can have it in Yarncroke. But out of those two, Granlund was the best forward on this team. Now, take that with a grain of salt because the team struggled at forward for the most part. I get that. UC Saros carried this team for a big chunk of the season, and the top six is not anywhere close to what we want to see the Predators at right now. Mm-hmm. We get that. But Granlin still, analytically speaking, and part of this team, still was one of the better players on this team. So David Poile was kind of in a tough position here. If you let him go, if you lose Granlin, you want to talk about a rebuild? No, you want to talk about a complete blow up.
Yeah, that would be a blow up with who else they lost.
Yeah. And so I'm not saying, and we're going to get into it a little bit more, but I'm not saying that the Preds with Granlund are suddenly like, oh, all of our problems are solved and we're going to be a playoff team now. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not in that fantasy land here.
No way.
But I do think that bringing Granlund back is a move that can keep the Predators at least competitive, keep them watchable, dare I say. And so I think it's good. Now let's look at the terms, though. That's where it really gets where you have to think about it here.
Yeah.
You can want to bring a player back all you want, but you have to look at the terms first. And so you bring him back for 4 years, $20 million, $5 million a year is where we're at here.
Yep.
That's right for me. That's right on that line where it's like, agreed. Do you want to call it overpaid or underpaid? He's definitely not underpaid. But overpaid, you can make an argument. It's really tough. Like
it is.
I think Granlund did really good for himself. If you want to talk about Granlund in this position, he needs to be shaking his agent's hand because he did good. He did good.
I think he had a little bit of leverage though, because I think Poile knew, you know, if he walks, we're going to be hurting. You know, they lost.
He had leverage. He had some leverage.
Chikarine, Ryan Ellis, and then so you know,
let's not leave out Victor Arvidsson.
Those guys gone. You know, that's a lot of veterans walking, and you know,
he had
the upper hand in the negotiation. So
Grant, you're absolutely right on that. I'm glad you brought that up. You definitely brought that up, and it's a good point you made there. And so I think you're probably going to agree with me here. Granlund probably fits in pretty sturdy in the top six, probably on the top line, I would think.
Yeah.
For the Preds. We're talking about a young, rebuilt Preds team that's going to come out on that ice in just a couple months. We're in August now. So we're literally talking about like less than 3 months from now when the new season starts.
Yep.
And the Preds skate out onto the ice and open their season against the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
I think that Mikael Granlund is going to be on that top line. Do you agree?
I think, I think he could be. Yeah, I see that happening. I'm more intrigued by the Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson line. I'd like to kind of see him play with that a little bit, but – I think that's putting too many good players.
So I wouldn't. Line. We're probably going to have a dedicated episode for something like this. We'll dabble in it a little bit here. I'm not putting Johansson and Duchesne on the same line because I do think they're two centers that need to be centers at this point in their careers. And so you can make an argument whether you'd rather have Duchesne or Johansson centering your top line for this Preds team going into this next season. But I would personally have Granlund on my top line. That's just how I feel about it.
That's good, too.
We'll see what happens. We have to watch training camp here, and we have to see what Hines wants to do here. That's part of the excitement of it. Mm-hmm. But Granlund's coming back. Me and Rich both think that it's a good deal. Right toeing that line, though, of where you maybe overpaid him a little bit. But Rich made a really good point here. Granlund probably had the leverage here. And so he gets paid. Good for Granlund. Let's hope he's a former 70-point scorer or close to it. So can we see him even get close to that maybe? It would be a huge win.
I'll take 60 points.
We'll gladly take 60.
They had I was watching when they were doing the free agency signing. I think it was on ESPN2. They actually had him like they would do updates on like who's the top 10 players who's picked so far. He was actually in the top 10 like of all the players mentioned. you know, so I think it's good. I'm glad
he was out
I'm
there.
Glad
yeah.
They brought him back. Yeah. So that's good.
I'm really surprised considering that talks broke down and no other team took him surprises me. Mm-hmm. And I felt the same way the last off season. So it's kind of crazy that it went like it repeated itself a little bit. And so he's coming back. I think that's the biggest move of the off season. And I know that's not super exciting for a lot of Predators fans, but up until this point right now, that's probably the biggest move the Preds have made. But let's get into some outside signings here. Then we'll go into the in-house signings. Okay. So we're getting into much more minor signings here, but still deal that matter is what in the hell are the Preds backup goaltender? We've done a segment about it on this podcast in previous episodes. We've talked about it. Rich has actually written articles about this. And so we've talked about it, and everyone's been talking about it. And the Preds go out and get David Ratich, who's played most of his career with the Calgary Flames. And I'm a very, very modest deal here. I mean, I think that he comes in here and solves the problem that the Preds had. Of course, Pecorino, I'm wearing his jersey right now, decided to retire. The Preds wanted him back. He decided to pursue his life outside of hockey, and we all love him for that. And so big shoes to fill here. But David Ratich comes here, and he is not a slouch at all. Mm-mm. And I think that the Preds did a good job going out and solving a problem when it comes to getting a backup for UC Soros. How do you feel about it, man?
I think it's good. Like you said, I did write an article or two about it. He's not the guy that I would have picked, but they also wanted to get a little bit lower salary. So most of the guys that I picked were in like the $2.5 million, $3 million range, maybe a little more. I was really wanting to see him get Yaroslav Halak from Boston. He wound up going to Vancouver, I believe. But he got more money. So I'm happy with who they got. I think he's going to be good. He's probably only going to see, 20 starts, hopefully.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. Good,
yeah, if he gets off to a good start to the season and doesn't have a slow start like he's had in the past, we might not see – I think – is it Riddick? How do you say his name? I don't know. Is it Riddick? Riddick?
Riddick. What? I mean, yes. Yeah, so he's got – I mean, but he's got some – when you're looking at backup numbers, he's got good numbers.
So we have a new person with us in the comment section. Lindsay.
Yes,
she said, welcome, Lindsay. Smashville. I'm new here, so please welcome me with open arms. Hello.
You are more than welcome.
Yes. It's Riddick. Riddick is how you say it. She is familiar with Riddick.
Lindsay, I apologize for completely botching his name. If anything, you actually came out and responded to us on Twitter earlier. And if anything, you're teaching us more than we're teaching you right now.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for that. Lindsay, thank you for listening to the podcast, and we appreciate you a ton. And we are happy to have David Riddick join the team. And I can promise you Smashville is going to welcome him with open arms because we are a goaltender franchise. Mm-hmm. So one thing you'll learn about the Preds as you talk to some of the fans and you learn the franchise a little bit more is we have always been spoiled with very good goaltenders. And even from the early days, even from the expansion days in 1998-99, we had Mike Dunham in our expansion draft. Mm-hmm. And so we had Thomas Vokoun, we had Dan Ellis, and then eventually Pecorino came into the fold. We had Chris Mason, who covers the team right now. Like, we've been spoiled with great goaltenders. And there's no doubt in my mind that David Riddick can come in here and be a really good serviceable backup to UC Soros. And you need a good backup in this league. You absolutely need a two goaltender tandem in this league. And so I like the move. I like the term. It's a 1-year deal. And I feel good about it. because the thing about Saros is you never know when your goaltender is going to go through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have to lean on your backup. And I totally trust Riddick when it comes to his career numbers. I mean, he's got nearly a 91 save percentage for his career. He's still very young. I mean, he's still got his career ahead of him. He's about to be 29 years old, but he's got 64 career wins, 2.82 goals against average for his career. That's solid. Solid. You can live with that in your backup goaltender all day.
Absolutely.
So and for the deal they got him for, I think they did good on it. I think the Preds did really good on that deal.
Big save Dave.
Big save Dave. Yeah, we're starting to learn that is his nickname. And I will say this. Big save Dave is going to have to make a lot of big saves when he's in, because this team is going to be limited when it comes to talent. It's going to be a rebuilding team. So he is going to have to come in there, and both goaltenders, both Riddick and UC Saros, are going to be tested when they're in. They're going to have to play their best. So I love the move. I think it solves a big problem after Pecorine retired. And so welcome Lindsay, to the team, David Riddick. We're happy to have you.
Lindsay said he had a rough season last year, but he never got to play. So if you play him, he'll be solid. So that's good.
There you go.
That's what we need.
There you go. Hopefully, yeah, that's what we need.
Talk about go ahead.
You want your backup to be ready to go.
Yeah. If Saros, like, hopefully it doesn't happen this season, but for the past two seasons, he's gotten off to a slow start. And if, you know,
you've got to have a reliable backup. And we even talked about, should Connor Ingram go ahead and just jump up to the NHL level. I was very adamant that said I wasn't ready for him to start off immediately on the NHL level. I said that I want to see Connor Ingram back in Milwaukee as their primary starter in the AHL to start the season, and then we go from there. Yep. And so when it comes to the goaltender situation in free agency, this plan has worked out perfectly for me. I love what the Preds have done here. They got a good quality backup goaltender for UC Saros. Let's go down the line here. Let's talk about some more minor moves here that the Preds made when it comes to outside signings. They got Matt Tennyson, who is actually an 8-year NHL veteran. He's been in the league for a while, but he's never stuck. He's never stuck on the NHL level. But they go and get him for a 2-year, two-way contract. So you got to think that he's probably going to be a Milwaukee addition at first.
Yep.
But they go and get him. He's only got 165 games of NHL experience over 8 years. So he's never really made his mark on the NHL level, even though he's gotten plenty of opportunities on the NHL level. So he definitely comes off as a Milwaukee addition. Maybe he gets called upon to come up to the NHL, but as of now, he looks like a prospect pool type of addition, especially with the two-way contract. So. Yeah.
This will be
very underwhelming move there.
Nashville's his fifth team, so
yeah. And then we also have Matt Luff, which honestly, no one's really talking about this addition. I actually like it because I see potential in this kid. He's 24 years old. He's comes out of the LA Kings system. He's actually proven that he can actually score goals on the NHL level. He had 8 goals in his first season in 2018-19. He's definitely going to be a good addition for the Milwaukee prospect pool. Mm-hmm. And so he also comes in on a two-way contract for 1 year. And so I know it's a very modest addition. I know it's not anything that's going to break the headlines or anything like that, but I actually like the addition of a right winger who could possibly evolve and develop into something bigger for you down the road.
Yep. And it also tells me, if he's getting these guys on these two-way contracts, maybe he's going to be moving some Milwaukee Admiral guys to the main roster. So he's got to replenish their prospect pool and get.
I see that completely.
Milwaukee needs players, so you know.
Yeah.
They went out and got these guys.
That is actually a really good point. That's very true. That's very true. You have to not only think about your NHL roster, you have to think about your primary AHL roster, which is the Milwaukee Admirals, which was a great team the last time they were on the ice. Yep. And unfortunately, they had to miss last season, and they didn't get to take the ice. And so we expect them to be a very, very good once again.
I agree.
And I can't wait to watch them play. And so Matt Luff, we expect him to be a big part of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
To start off with. Yeah. And then eventually, you just don't know what's going to happen. But I do like they added a right winger who has scored some goals on the NHL level. Like I said, he had 8 goals in his first season in the NHL. And so he's got some talent, clearly. And so we'll see what he does. Let's go to our poll question real quick. We had a poll question on Catfish and Ice. I'm going to pull it up here. And before we get to the poll question was, what letter grade are you going to give the Preds so far in free agency? Just free agency. We're not grading the draft. We're not grading the expansion draft, nothing like that. We're just grading what the Preds have done in free agency. And so before we reveal the poll, let's give our grades on it. Rich, how about you give me your grade real quick? What letter grade would you give the Preds right now so far in their performance in free agency?
So I gave them an A, but it was more toward the A- B category.
All right. We can do plus minuses here on Catfish and Ice. So let's give them an A-.
We'll do an A-. Yeah, so that's good. So the reason why is because they solved their goaltender issue. That was like a huge deal for me. I wasn't sure what they were going to do, and I'm glad that they did get. The other thing, they signed Granlund. That was a big, huge, a big win, I think, to keep him. And then they didn't go out. They haven't yet. They didn't make a play for any of these big name guys and spend a whole bunch of money, and they're holding on to their salary cap money. And that's what we want to see while they're doing the rebuild. So I gave them a good, A- is good, I think. A lot of people don't agree with that, but.
Well, they're following the plan that we all want them to follow right now, is what you're saying. Like they're basically saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do. We know what we are. We know we have to do this competitive rebuild. The term that's being thrown around is competitive rebuild. And so, yeah, that's what they've basically done this free agency period, is they've done a competitive rebuild. And so I'm with you there. I'm not going to go quite as high, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a very solid B, which is the grades that my mom was so happy when I brought home when I was growing up as a kid. So the Preds are doing exactly what young Chad did when he was growing up through middle school and high school, which was bringing Bs home to mom. And so I'm going to give them a B. And the reason why I give them a B and not an A, I can't go to an A, is because I do not, and we're going to get into it in our next segment, I do not like what's going on with UC Soros. I think they're fumbling around with it. I don't understand what they're doing here. Pay the man who took you where you need to go to maybe even make the playoffs. And so I think the front office is fumbling that, but we're going to get more into that. But that's kind of where I'm at with the B. Also, another reason why I'll give them a B and not an A is the Ben Harper signing.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I docked in some serious points for that, because you're basically bringing back a player who's basically just a placeholder.
Yeah.
He's just taking up space, and he's quite possibly taking up space for a better player, a younger player who could be doing more for you right now. And so other than that, I really don't have a huge problem with what the Preds have done this offseason. And so I give them a B. I give them a solid B. So let's share the poll. So we asked, what grade would you give the Preds in free agency so far? We asked our Twitter followers, and we got a lot of comments on it too. So we'll share the comments. But here are the results. A really solid, great A grade only got 10%.
Yeah.
So B, a grade of B, got 41%. C got 30%. And D or F, I just lumped them together. A D or F got 19%. So there's still some people out there who are like, Preds have totally screwed this up. I'm not there with them on that. That 19%, either. I don't know what you're thinking. They have not done that bad. So I don't know. C, okay. I would like to talk to the people who voted C. That's 30%. And then B's 41%, A's 9%, or 10%. Let's go to our buddy Kyle Perkins at KPerk86. The Preds meme king.
Oh my gosh, he's so good at it.
And he will be on the podcast very soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully next episode, actually. We plan on bringing Kyle Perkins on. We'll have to get with him. I'm sure he's a busy person, but we would love to have him on the podcast soon. So anyway, he said in response to the poll, I would have given an A except the decision to bring back Harper and Granlin brought it down. So a shaky C for me. He actually spotted Granlund as a deduction. So I know you don't agree on that, Rich. I don't necessarily agree either. But he brought up Harper as well. So
I can see where people would think that. I mean, it wasn't a stellar season by any means, but he was the most consistent player. Yeah. So it wasn't 70 points.
Yeah. Ducky, which is at Ducky NHL, he has also been someone who regularly responds to the podcast. We appreciate Ducky as well. They said, I would say D or F, but he hasn't signed any bad contracts yet, so he gets a C. So we got two straight responses that said C. So these people are revealing themselves right now.
Yeah.
And then we got Lindsay, who we just brought her up. She's the Riddick fan, and she responded about how she doesn't know much about the Preds, but she's excited to dive into some Preds hockey. So we welcome her to the podcast. We got Nick here. Nick gave him a B. Granlin deal is too long. Fair point. 4 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see that maybe. And then Rajan Hockney said a solid B as well. Don't understand Harper and a little too much moolah for Granny. I don't know if I've ever said that in my life, that sentence.
Moolah.
A little too much moolah for Granny. I think that'll be that's the first time I've ever said that sentence.
That was a significant raise for him.
Yes.
Like last year it was like 3.75, I think, is what he made. So
thank you for the responses, everyone, on Twitter and responding to our poll. We appreciate that. Let's get into the in-house signings here. These are a little bit more minor, but still a big deal. This is actually another reason why I put the Preds at a B. In my grade.
A couple of these were a little.
Matthew Olivier and Tanner Jeannot.
Yep.
Those were, you can call them no-brainers. Like, yeah, they had to do that, so they did it. I get it. They were still important.
They
put us to rest a little bit. They put us to ease a little bit. Because if we're going to be a rebuilding team, you better bring back Matthew Olivier and Tanner Jeannot.
Especially since you protected Jeannot in the expansion draft.
Well, yeah, so that was obvious. Definitely obvious. Matthew Olivier, maybe not so much, but for the most part, people expected both of these guys back. And so Matthew Olivier gets a 2-year deal, $1.5 million, a very low risk, smart move, if you ask me. And Tanner Jeannot gets a 2-year, $1.6 million extension. And so that kind of put Preds fans from walking over the edge of the cliff because I'm telling you, Preds fans, at least the ones I run into, they are so close to just saying, you know what? I'm not going to even go to a game next year.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're there. They're there right now.
Yeah. But I've seen it too. Yeah.
If they didn't bring back Tanner Jeannot, it would have gotten so much more worse.
Yeah.
So they're bringing back Jeannot, which is obviously a great move. They're bringing back Matthew Olivier. Replicate that fourth line success that we saw from last season. Let's see if we can do that again. Let's see if they can be the heartbeat of the team. They'll win some games for you. They will.
They will. They did last year.
They
played really well.
So smart moves there. I'm sure you agree with that, Rich, right?
No, I totally agree. Yeah, definitely didn't want to see anybody left off of that fourth line. You know, they got Colton Sissons. Obviously, he's still there. Jeannot. So, we want to see
real quick to round out the opening faceoff, the Milwaukee restricted free agents that were kind of hanging out there. Anthony Richard, 1-year, two-way deal. Michael McCarron, 2-year, two-way deal. Jeremy Davies, who is another player who we think could get on the NHL level if called upon next season. He gets a 1-year, two-way deal. And Frederick Allard gets a 1-year, two-way deal. So, this kind of reiterates that Milwaukee is looking strong next year.
Milwaukee guys.
The Admirals are going to be another really good top team in the AHL, or at least that's what I expect. One more thing to round out this opening face-off segment. Byron Bader, who covers prospect rankings, is very well respected among the community. He actually has the Preds ranked, the Preds prospect pool, ranked as number 10 his NHL rankings. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
That's way huge. Up there. They've moved up. They've made a lot of progress over the past couple seasons in that prospect pool. So, Preds fans, let me let you calm down a little bit. It's not all doom and gloom here. They're building something. They're building it from down low. They're building it from within, almost like what I say Colorado Avalanche have done.
Yep.
And so other teams have done it. The Carolina Hurricanes have done it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a way to do it. It takes some time, but there's a way to do this, and it appears the Preds are trying to do that right now. Yep. So the prospect pool looks really good. So that's our
– They got some good in the draft, too, the entry draft. Yes. The two guys they picked in the entry draft were good. Yes. And they already signed – they already signed the Zachary LaRue. They signed him to a three-year entry deal already. So I think they're one of –
It's looking really good. It's looking really good. They're building it from down below. They're building that foundation again. And it takes time. It takes patience. I know that Preds fans don't have a lot of patience anymore.
No,
but this is what happens in hockey. And so that's what's going on right now. So that's our opening face-off of episode 60 of Catfish and Ice with Chad Minton and Rich Howe, presented by DraftKings. We got the Olympics going on. Go use our promo code THPN for new users on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and you can win $100 in free site credits on a $1 bet if the United States wins the medal.
I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, I think so.
They probably just won one now.
Probably, as we speak. All right, Rich. The Soros arbitration situation is going on. And give me your initial thoughts on that.
It's ridiculous. So ridiculous. It really, I think, like you said in the beginning, it puts it's a bad look for Poile. Had it not been for Soros last season, they would have been done. I mean, there's absolutely no way they would have even sniffed the playoffs. Because you watched, you saw him, there was several, I mean, I can't even count how many games that he kept them in those games with, 40 save nights, 50 saves, whatever. Bad luck. So, yeah. And Dante Fabbro is actually in arbitration as well.
So we'll get to Dante Fabbro in a minute. But so Adam Vinian of The Athletic broke the tweet out originally and got everyone going on this past Friday. Basically saying, my understanding is Soros has filed for arbitration. And he's come out and talked and basically go read his article on The Athletic. He's talked about it here. And so these hearings are anywhere from August 11th through the 26th. And specific dates will be determined at a later date. And so this kind of looks like a deal where the Preds are going to have to pay up.
I agree. Yeah.
And
lowballed him.
But what angers me is it got to this point.
You're right.
Absolutely. It shouldn't get to this point. You should value the player that got you to where you are. I think it's just bad look on the organization, in my opinion. It's a bad look on David Poile. It's a bad look on the front office. It's take care of your franchise players who are taking care of you. And if you don't have UC Soros last season, you are borderline a last place team last season.
Yeah.
You won games that you had no business winning. You were I think the percentages were like less than like 2 or 3% that you were going to make the playoffs before UC Soros went on his crazy run that he went on. Yeah. And I was arguing there at the end that he should be in the Vezina trophy conversation.
He should have been.
He didn't get in there, but be that as it may, you're going to lowball him. You're going to you're going to take this to arbitration. It's ridiculous. It really puts a stain on what's going on this offseason. I know he's going to eventually get paid, but it didn't have to get to this. And so I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Saros is angry or I don't know that. I'm not an insider like that, so I don't know. But it still looks bad.
Yeah, he's probably not angry. You know, him and Pecorino.
He's not.
Two nicest guys on the planet.
But I do think in good faith that the team could be taking better care of their franchise player. Absolutely. And so he's earned it. The market shows that he's earned it. Yeah. I'm thinking he needs to get anywhere between $5 and $6 million per year. The term, when it comes to the term, that might be what's hanging the team up right now is the term.
Yeah, you know they don't want to pay.
Because, well, you got to think. You got to think.
Long contracts.
And we got to think. When it comes to a goaltender, you pay those long contracts if you feel mm-hmm. like it's worth it. But here's the thing. You've got Connor Ingram. We don't know what the franchise feels about him. Obviously, they don't feel strongly enough in him to make him a backup right now. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought in David Riddick. But we don't know what they think in him. We don't know what they think about Askarov, Yaroslav Askarov. And so you got to think that the term might be the reason that's hanging this up right now. How many years does Saros want? We're speculating right now. I'm not going off of anything I've seen. There's no insider information that I've seen. But I just have a gut feeling that it's being hung up on the length of the contract and not so much the per year.
Yeah, I agree. So I feel the same way about Connor Ingram. You know, I would have thought, you know, had he only got to play 5 games last season. So had he had a full season, maybe they could have brought him in as a backup because he's an awesome goaltender. But then, like you talked about Askarov, I think I read somewhere that he's still playing in the KHL for two more years.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not even counting bringing him in to Milwaukee.
Actually pretty realistic that Askarov's not going to be available as an NHL goaltender until 2024 or 25.
So he is not
a short term. But I do think that's what's tying up these negotiations here is – how many years is Saros wanting? How much longevity is he wanting? And what are the Preds willing to commit to him? It's going to be fascinating to find out, if we ever find out, what caused this arbitration to begin with.
I think they lowballed him. I bet.
We'll lean on people like Adam Vinion, who are insiders on that information, to come out. But it's a bad look for sure. I think he deserves between $5 and $6 million, though, minimum. $5 million would be lowballing. I think $6 million is where he's at. You brought up Dante Fabbro. This one, it can actually get uglier, I think, because I don't know if he is in the camp to be going to arbitration. That's coming from somebody who likes Dante Fabbro, mm-hmm. and I want to see him stick with the Preds, but I don't know what he's done in his NHL career enough to argue for arbitration. So that's another one we have to focus on and pay attention to. And with what the Preds have built up in their prospect pool and defensively, I mean, I don't know if Preds might let him walk eventually.
Yeah, I'd hate to see that happen, see it get to that, but he doesn't have a strong enough case as
no, not even close.
So, but hopefully, you know, they still have, even while the arbitration's going on, they can still make a deal and settle.
Yes.
I read somewhere last year, I think they said that 26 players filed for arbitration and all of them but one got settled before the date was up.
So, and that's kind of what we expect. It would definitely work out. I think that when it comes to Fabbro, I think that'll definitely get worked out. I think when it comes to Saros, he is such a big-time player for you. I don't like the optics of it, and so that's kind of where I'm at with it. But they should both probably get settled, and we'll move on like normal. I just wish it didn't get to this point with Saros.
If something happened to him, Nashville fans would
– they won't let that happen.
I couldn't even imagine what it would be like.
No. I don't want to think about it either. All right. So let's get to our quick hitters of episode 60 of Catfish and Ice with Chad Minton and Rich Howe. Episode 60, milestone episode. We're excited to bring it to you as we truck along through this offseason, this crazy, hectic offseason. And so now let's reset this division outlook for the Central Division. We're going to move through these topics really quick in our quick hitters section here. Yep. All right, so let me share this real quick. Jay Fresh, who does all the analytics, he does all the roster projections, he does player analytics, he does standings. He projects the standings each season, and they are so fascinating. I love them. I can't get enough of them. And it's based on wins above replacement is what he bases them off of. And he's also been on the podcast, and he's just such a knowledgeable person of the game. And he's got his brand new Central Division projections for next season. This is fresh out of Friday, so July 30th. And, Rich, do you want to take a guess on who his first place team is?
I don't remember. I saw it, but I don't remember who it was. I'm going to go with Colorado.
That is a very good guess, and you are correct. He's got the Colorado Avalanche coming in at 119 points. So, needless to say, he predicts them to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So, let's go through the top four. The top four obviously make the playoffs, right? I can go ahead and tell you, save you the suspense. The Preds are not in there.
I know where they're at.
He's got the St. Louis Blues at 100 points, though. That kind of threw me off a little bit. I didn't expect
I thought that was a little strange, too.
So he's got Winnipeg. He's got Winnipeg at 97 points. He's got Minnesota at 97 points. So those are your four playoff teams out of the Central: Colorado, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Minnesota. Then he's got Chicago coming in quick and very, very close at 93 points. And, of course, they got Marc-Andre Fleury. We're not happy about it.
That might have bumped them up a little bit.
Probably did. And then you've got Dallas coming in at 88 points. And then you've got our Nashville Predators coming in 87 points. So right there. And then you've got the Arizona Coyotes, the lowly Arizona Coyotes, who are fire sailing at 75 points. Those are your projections. Agree or disagree, Rich, with those predictions? And how do you feel about them?
Well, I knew that Colorado would be up there. I was surprised that they didn't go farther than they did last season. So that's not a shocker. St. Louis up there is a little bit of a shocker. But as far as Nashville, I hate that they're down that low, but it's probably realistic. But I'd like to see them at, like, number five or six. I think Adam Vingan, he, like, retweeted Jay Fresh's tweet, and he listed them in the order he thought they would be. Okay. I think he had Nashville at, like, six, which I know that's not a big, huge
deal. Splitting hairs at that point.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. It's probably
likely the Preds are going to be like one of those teams that gets eliminated within like the last 2 weeks of the regular season. That's kind of where I have them at. I'm not going to say they're a complete dumpster fire and we just shouldn't watch them. But to think that they're going to make the playoffs next season is really like you got a lot of confidence.
Yeah, well, they're rebuilding. So, you know.
When it comes to the division as a whole and looking at it, I mean, you're waiting for Colorado to finally break through and prove that they can actually – the thing about Colorado is that they're kind of what the Preds were a few seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Colorado's a great regular season team right now. They're going to blow through everybody. Can they win a cup? So, to see Colorado at that projection, 119 points is an insanely high projection. But they're good. They're going to be good again. They'll probably win the division. St. Louis, like I said, I can't believe they're at 100 points. Winnipeg's a sneaky good team. I would actually, if I was just, I'm not nearly as smart as Jay Fresh. I don't do all these calculations and math is hard for me a lot of times. But just asking me on the surface, I would put Minnesota at number two right now in the division. And Minnesota's another team that's quietly just built themselves up to a contender. Mm-hmm. They made a big jump last season, so I'd have Minnesota in there. Winnipeg certainly deserves to be in there. I'm surprised Dallas is all the way down 88 points.
Yeah.
They got Anton Hudobin on the trade block. I don't know if you saw that. That came out today. They've got a plethora of goaltenders down there now. They've got Ben Bishop. They've got Braden Holtby now. They're almost in the same situation as we are when it comes to their AHL goaltender. They got Ottinger who was their backup last season.
Forgot about him.
It doesn't surprise you that they put Hudobin on the trade block because they can't have four goaltenders.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see where that plays out. But overall, I think the division looks pretty set that it's going to be Colorado's to lose. But Minnesota is going to be a fun team to watch. Chicago is going to be right up there. They got Seth Jones as well. So the division is going to be fun. It's going to be murderer's row. It's going to be pretty crazy. I find it hard to believe that Nashville is going to be able to be a playoff team in this division, but I'm also a realist.
It hurts to say, but, you know, they're rebuilding. There's going to be growing pains. We've talked about this. Predators fans are getting what they've clamored for several seasons. There's movement. They're rebuilding. What else can you do? I mean, there's not much else you can do.
Let's get to some more NHL drama. And I actually forgot to bring this up in the intro, but I don't know how I left this out. Free Jack Eichel.
All right.
And so our boy Max Greenberg put out a really good article on Predlines about it, talking about the pros and cons if the Preds were to ever trade for Jack Eichel. Let me preface by saying that the Preds are not in the Jack Eichel sweepstakes. Nope. And I don't know what I'll do if we somehow trade for him. I don't think the asking price is as high as you would think for a player of his caliber because of his injury concerns.
Not now.
but this whole dramatic situation that's going on right now is just nuts to watch. I feel bad for Jack Eichel, honestly, because he is such a highly skilled player. I don't want to see his talents wasted away in Buffalo like Barry Sanders' talent was wasted for the Detroit Lions.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not putting him on the same level as Barry Sanders in football, but that's kind of what I think about is a great player like Jack Eichel just wasting away for a team like the Buffalo Sabres who just can't get it right, you know? And so I'm really interested to see where he ends up. There's a list out there of destinations that are most likely for him. I've seen Calgary. I've seen Boston. I've seen Vegas. I've seen the New York Rangers. If he goes to Vegas, I am going to be pissed off. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm over them so much.
I want Jack Eichel to be free. Don't get me wrong. He deserves to be free. Get him out of Buffalo. But if he goes to Vegas, I am not going to be happy about that because I am ready for Vegas to come back down to the cold, hard reality of being a mediocre team. They've never had to experience it.
I agree. And, you know, the only way I could even stomach watching them was because I like Marc-Andre Fleury.
And now he's not on there.
And you see what they did to him. Like
I do like Mark Stone. I like me some Mark Stone.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do not like Vegas. I cannot stand
it. Overall, I don't like him either.
And so if they get Jack Eichel, I mean, and he stays healthy for them, what do you even say about that? They're already a great team without him. Yeah. So that whole thing
with his agent or agents, they put that thing out saying he needs the team doctors want him to get surgery. He doesn't want surgery. You know, he went and got a second opinion. I read somewhere and like, you know, if he thinks he can play and he doesn't want to get surgery, like just let him go. He just needs to be somewhere else. Like that's just.
And to tie this to the Preds, for the Preds to hypothetically get a player like Jack Eichel in this situation, they would have to deal some people who would basically break up the rebuild you say you want to do. So you would have to be putting your chips back on the table again to say you're a player for the Stanley Cup. And I'm sorry, the Preds are not in that position right now. No. So would he sell tickets? Would he get the fan base energized? Especially your casual fans, yes, he would sell tickets. He would. Would he make them a Stanley Cup contender? No.
No.
Not on his own.
Yeah,
and you would have to you would have to deal highly regarded assets to bring him in, which would inevitably delay your rebuild, which is gonna happen regardless. So the Preds most likely do not need to be in on this. I know our guy Max Greenberg in his article said that they should at least inquire on it. Okay, you know what? Inquire. You know what? I'll walk into a car dealership all day and inquire on a brand new Mercedes Benz. Doesn't mean I'm going to buy it.
The other thing is Eichel might not want to come to Nashville.
He probably doesn't.
Why would you? I mean,
I don't think he has control over it, though. Eichel doesn't have control over it, though. They can trade him wherever he wants.
That's true. That's
but he probably doesn't want to come to the press.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't.
He's not a free agent. Buffalo has a say in this.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you're right, though, as well, Rich. He would not want to come here, most likely.
Yeah.
Most of your big-time star players probably don't want to come here right now. We actually talked about that in our free agency episode a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
So, but Jack Eichel saga is very worth watching, though. And we'll have to wait and see where he ends up. It'll be interesting. We got the Olympics going on. Of course, the DraftKings, our sponsor. We got that awesome promo code for you, THPN, to win $100 in site credits. Have you been watching the Olympics, Rich? What's your interest in it?
It's on at our house all day. So
love it.
My daughters are still – my oldest daughter watches it a whole lot. School hasn't started yet, so, like, we watch the Olympics pretty much every
night.
That's
awesome. Love it. Love it.
I like it. I like the Winter Olympics better.
I do,
too. We really enjoyed watching.
Which we got the Winter Olympics coming up really quick, too. So. Yeah,
I can't wait. I love the Winter Olympics. But we've been watching skateboarding, the girls' street skateboarding and the guys and then the BMX. And
yeah, that's fun.
I love watching skateboarding. So that's really cool to see. So
something I was watching right before we went on live tonight for the episode was the beach volleyball.
Oh yeah,
the sand volleyball team. And the women just beat the team Germany in a really exciting game. It's like tennis, but even more exciting for me because it's back and forth. It's just back and forth. They're trading points, like setting up the serves, like the accuracy it takes to set up a serve and place a volleyball right at the corner of like it's just amazing. Amazing female athletes performing. Mm-hmm. And so the beach volleyball has been really exciting for me. Of course, the women's national team lost to Canada, a big shocking loss. They had not lost to Canada since, I think, 2001 was the last time they lost to Team Canada in soccer. Tough loss for the women's team. They've been dominant for so long. They can still win a medal. They can still win the bronze medal. So we're not giving up on the women's team at all. But they did take a really crushing loss, so that really stands out in the Olympics. Of course, you got the U.S. Women's basketball team who always dominates. They continue to dominate. I don't know if the U.S. Women's basketball team will ever lose. You got Sue Bird. You got Brittany Griner. Just such a great dominating team of women who just perfect their craft. I don't see the U.S. Women's basketball team losing to anybody. And then, of course, you got Simone Biles. Who is going through a lot of problems, personal problems. And you know what? We've talked about this before on the show, actually. There's things that rise way above the competition.
Yep.
And it's about your personal health, your mental health, whatever it may be. Simone Biles is one of the greatest athletes in the Olympics. She is an outstanding, strong woman. And apparently she's going to compete in the gymnastics beam event. Yep. And
that's the last thing she can do. Yeah.
And you know what? I can't cheer loud enough for her. And I just hope that she's in the right mindset to do it. And I hope she also knows that no matter what happens in this event, that we're all going to be proud of her as Americans representing her country.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the
medal count
sport you've seen on there? What's the
weirdest sport? For me, it's got to be it's not. I guess it's not because it's weird. It's just I don't know. It's weird to watch it in the Olympics. Is the horse? The horse moves where the horses are going through like
what's steeplechase?
Steeplechase, I guess. No, they're not racing each other. They're like doing like it's like show horses.
Have you not seen that? No.
Yeah, like the horses are like trotting across the dirt. They're like showing the horses. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I've never listened to the commentary on it, but it's been on a lot, actually.
Yeah.
That whole competition of the Olympics might be over by now. But look up what I'm talking about. It's kind of like that's got to be the weirdest thing for me. What about you?
So two things I've seen. Like, it's not weird, but it's weird that it's Olympics, is the 3-on-3 basketball.
That threw me off, too.
I turned that on, and I was like, what is this? I didn't know it was a sport.
When I first turned it on, I was actually glancing at it. It was like background noise. And I'm like, why is the camera angle only showing a certain part of the court? I thought it was like the real basketball game.
Yeah.
Like the 5-on-5. And then I'm like, is this the first year they're doing that?
Yeah, I've never
seen 3-on-3 basketball.
I've never seen that at all. So the other one is it might be called handball. I don't remember, but it's like lacrosse, but they don't have like a thing to throw the ball. They just use their hand and they throw it, like try to throw it in the net. And there's a goaltender, the whole nine yards. I've never seen that either. I didn't even know what that was. So that was a little strange, but
very, very interesting. So the updated medal count, I'm reading it right now for the Olympic Games in Tokyo right now, has United States is leading the overall medal count 64-62 over China, but China has way more gold medals than us. So we got to make up in the gold medal count. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we're doing pretty good. Japan's number 3, Australia's number 4. And so we're doing good in the medal count overall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rich, anything else you got to say real quick about the Olympics real quick?
No, that's cool. I like watching it. I'd like to watch it more. Wish I could sit and watch it all day. But I'm really looking forward to the winter. I really like the winter a lot. The Winter Olympics is going to be fun. They're going to have hockey back, so that's going to be awesome. So that'll be exciting. Yep. Definitely.
All right. So this has been episode 60 of the Catfish on Ice podcast with Chadman and Rich Howe. We will see you next week for episode 61. And until then, everyone stay safe and take care.